Hey everyone, this is Austin. So excited that you were able to download and listen to the Flight Test Podcast today. Today we had an awesome guest, Josh Scott, who doesn't always make it to the podcast with us, but graces us with his presence occasionally. So it was fun having him in the podcast today, along with a lot of the regulars. Today we just honestly kind of chit-chatted. There wasn't a whole lot of structure, which is okay. We talked about NEF, an event in Northeast Ohio we recently went to. Talked about some upcoming episodes and how our 400th episode is coming along, which I think you guys would be interested to hear about that. Talked about a European meetup that we're going to be doing here coming in June. So lots of exciting things going on here. We also had a pretty extensive lightning round Q&A, which, as usual, dissolved into non-lightning round Q&A. I want to announce that our very, very, very first podcast sponsor has signed on with us. We're going to be sponsored by HostGator for this episode. HostGator is a service that I've been using for, I would say, 5 years or so. Main reason I love HostGator is because of their one-click installer for WordPress, which makes it extremely easy for anyone out there in the RC hobby that has something unique to offer or something to, some information to provide. It makes it so easy just to throw up a website. HostGator also has drag and drop website builders that are awesome if you're not super experienced with websites or setting something up. So once again, that is HostGator.com. They've been working with us to bring you guys some awesome content, including our 400th episode. I was so excited to watch that footage. If you put in the code FLIGHTTEST, if you sign up at HostGator.com to build your own website and have your own domain, you'll get 30% off your purchase. So once again, the offer code FLIGHTTEST gets you 30% off. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you so much for your support, and we'll get right into it.
You know what was really popular was that little baby old Speedster.
Oh, yeah?
That thing flew constantly.
And it was indestructible,
too. Nice.
No one could kill it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we had and then the old, Bloody Wonders were constantly getting put up in the air.
Yeah, they were. So you had a lot of different people on those.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
And right, let's speed building as well. So put that on the...
We're basically talking about the things we should talk about during the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Speed building, 38 minutes and 40 seconds to build a Spitfire.
For Dave.
Something?
Speed building Dave.
Speed building Dave. Okay, cool.
He commented on Facebook, so if you look on Facebook, you'll see it. Okay, want to start?
Yeah, sure.
What are we talking about?
I just got stage fright.
Go.
Okay.
Talk about NEF.
Yeah, that's right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to podcast 19.
You kidding me?
This is the 19th podcast.
I thought we were
They're going quick now.
They're going really quick.
Does that include after hours?
That includes after hours, yeah. Because I personally consider after hours just to be part of the Flight Test podcast.
Josh doesn't.
This is a...
Thanks for calling me out there.
I mean, it's just a different format, the way I think about it.
That's
so
awesome.
Same podcast, different format.
I
am Austin Fury.
I'm David.
I'm Josh Scott.
I'm Josh Bixler.
And I'm Alex Zavato.
Today we're going to be talking about a recent indoor event we went to, which was a NEF, is Northeast
Ohio Electric Fun Fly.
Yeah,
that's the one. How is that only three letters?
Yeah, I was going to say.
It should be really be NEOF.
I'm no mathematician, but it seems like it should be more letters.
It's just Northeast Fly.
Northeast Fly.
So what is it?
You fly in the Northeast.
Okay, so no, what is it? Is it an indoor event?
Yes, it's an indoor event at Akron University, their field house, which was huge.
It was a replacement this year for HEF, which was the Holiday Electric Fun Fly. I can see a pattern here. Because in a couple of weeks, by the way, we're going to SEF. But the Olympics kicked the HEF flying out of the queue, so they moved it to Akron.
Which that was in Geneva, right?
Geneva, Ohio, yes, at their arena. And I don't know if it's ever going to, if they're going to have HEF again and NEF. I think it's probably, I'm guessing it'll probably double up because very successful.
Yes, tons of people
Let's give some name plugs here. We got, Mark Sturmer.
Mark Sturmer.
And then we have Tony Husak was a content director. Mm-hmm. And then Bernie.
Yeah.
Anyone that knows any indoor fly-ins around here knows Bernie. Yep. He's the guy behind the mic.
The legend.
The legend.
Yeah, the planes in the net tell that story.
Oh my gosh, he has a way with words. He's like a grandpa that you know can put you in his place really quick. But he is like, well, folks, I wanna tell you something, and if you can tell I'm talking about something that's not good. And he goes, there's a lot of planes up in the net, and the funny thing about that is the net is over me and the people. So he goes, common sense, people, common sense. And later on he's like, peripheral vision, people, peripheral.
Peripheral vision and common sense.
And then someone's out in the field picking up some carnage, and he's like, okay, let's bring it up to 7 feet, 7 feet. And then later on no one's listening, seven, let's bring it up to 10 feet.
15 feet.
Yeah,
it was cool though. He did a really good job, and everybody who helped put on NEF.
Yes,
hats off to you guys. It was a really good event, and I did get reprimanded a couple times, but it was in a great way. That you know, they came over and said, "Hey, you know,
this was not the neat experience at all."
Yeah.
It was. If anything, this correction is how it should be.
Yeah, it was almost awesome.
Yeah, this guy genuinely could tell he liked you. He loved you. He wanted it safe and fun. Mm-hmm. I love his way with words. He's just the classic, you know.
Yeah. No, they handled it beautifully. Yeah. I got recommended once as well, and it was like, common sense. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
But great event, and you know what? It was very family-friendly. A lot of kids.
Yeah, tons of kids. That was awesome.
And you know what? They were wonderful to us. When I talked to Mark Sturmer, Tony Husak, and them, and I said, I want to do something a little bit different here, and because they allowed us to be kind of partial sponsors of the event. And I said, I really want to do a strategic combat where you down the flight test crew.
And then, yeah.
They let us.
Yeah, that was awesome. So it was kill the flight test crew.
Yes.
So everyone against flight test.
And the way we did this, and I think we're going to do this at more events because it was a blast. We took some yellow streamers, and the planes with the streamers were the ones from the flight test crew. We had a line of prizes, and the first person down, one person got first pick, second person, second pick, third person, third pick.
Yeah,
it was fun.
So they got a model for destroying their own model.
Exactly. Which
I found interesting because the funny thing is I accidentally took myself out by running into David. I ran into David, crashed, and then somebody still claimed the prize. So there's some sneaky little prankster out there who got a free plane. But that's okay. Enjoy.
I think someone nicked your ribbon and considered that taking you
that's,
down.
Yeah, that could be the case.
They gave you turbulence that affected your...
they grounded you through raw intimidation. But and we flew the baby or the Bloody Wonders.
Yeah. You flew... What did you fly in the strategic combat?
That was a Bloody Wonder with a Blue Wonder on it.
Nice. And what did you fly, Alex?
I flew an F-22, FT-22. Okay.
And I flew the Viggen with a Blue Wonder on it.
I think people were crying when they saw the Viggen in the air. Like, oh, I want to hurt it.
It was so beat up because I had at least 20 people fly that thing. And I
crashed it like 3 times. Yeah. <so. laughs>
Yeah, it was really, really beat up. But, I mean, it was still on the first nose.
The super light Viggen, if you do a light setup with like a Blue Wonder, it can take a hit because it's so light and slow that even if you nosedive it,
it didn't really care.
It's still fine.
Yeah, 10 nosedives later, and it was not the prettiest, but it would
still fly great.
Yeah, and it held together.
How many extra noses did you bring?
7 extra noses, and I didn't use a single one.
Yeah, I was going to say, of that Facebook picture of the all the noses, the nose, how many array did you actually use?
Which you gave some of those to Kevin, didn't you?
Yes, I gave 2 to Kevin.
Kevin Teschner, which thanks for coming to hang out. Where did he come from?
Jersey.
New Jersey, yeah. Drove all the way down, and we met him at NEAT.
Yeah.
We had a great time. He was
he
the guy.
The cutters.
Yeah,
he gave
Gave Chad, David, and Josh all their own individual pliers so they don't mess each other's
I
up.
I got the industrial ones, by the way. Yeah. And they're still working good.
Yeah, that was awesome. Kevin is a great guy.
Yeah, it was good to catch up with him.
Yeah, and he was flying an old Speedster.
Yes. Yeah, 75% FT-22.
Yeah, and also a Beast, and he was having a great time.
And speaking of like the different swappables and stuff, there was a ton of them there. I've never seen so many different swappables.
Yeah, we were talking. There's always about two FT planes in the air and about 3 on the ground.
Yeah, it was funny. They bounced off everything. We kept on going. As soon as someone came up and started talking, and they have the pilot's badge, we're like, "Do you want to fly?"
Yep.
So I had a Spitfire. that was at least a dozen people in that, and it was still pristine.
Tell them about your light setup, because this is amazing. Anyone that wants to build a Spitfire?
It was so much fun.
So, yeah, it was a 3S1000, a Blue Wonder with the FT firewall.
Yeah, FT Element Simple firewall.
Yeah, so it was just glued on the front. The servos were moved forward just behind the wing, the tail ones, and then I just used the whole length of the push rods that come in the kit, and nice. Just stuck it through the foam, and it was stiff enough for the control surfaces, and it was so slow. Oh, yeah, skip the spacer in the wing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if you do, when you put it on the edge of the table, you get constant flap.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just a little bit.
It flew so great, and it had landing gear, too, which was fun on the ground, but it also helped balance it out a little bit better, too. Dave's like, it's a little tail heavy. Maybe landing gear will help.
Yeah.
And it turned out awesome, because I was flying that thing on the ground, just
one
like
wheel.
With the tail up on one wheel, more than it was in the air. It was a lot of fun.
So, yeah. Josh, the Bloody Wonder that you were talking about,
yeah.
you were flying, is that the new one?
That's the new one.
That's the new and improved?
Coming out today.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah. Did you see some of the crazy changes?
I did,
You showed me some of them. They're not that crazy.
They're not that crazy.
You know, here's the crazy changes is we got lazier.
and just real quick for people that like dates, today is March 24th.
Yes.
2014.
Who doesn't like dates?
Austin. I like that. Yeah.
I hate them. Can't stand them.
And guess what day is this getting released?
Today, March 24th, 2014.
That's so convenient. Nice. So yeah, we brought out version 2 of Bloody Wonder, and that was thanks to you guys. There's 37-38 pages of people talking about the Bloody Wonder, the mods they made, and the first version, we've learned so much since then. The first version had a lot of things that could be better. And one thing we found out too, that was one of the most pain in the butt things, was tapering that trailing edge to make it smooth. You don't need to do that.
Yeah, it worked fine without it.
Now, would you call this a K-step?
It has a little step to it now because you're using the full thickness of the foam.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of like a K-step, but the air really doesn't care about it.
And, it's like a centimeter and a half.
Yeah, we were mocking up the one to see how it flies, and it was like, I'm busy. I don't want to taper the edge. And it flew great.
So, and we extended the tail boom, too.
Yep, we extended the tail portion. So
is that
now,
for support?
Yeah, when we crashed, you remember when we were doing the drag racing, Josh?
Yeah.
And we crashed into the ground, the back tail kind of like flew forward.
Right.
Now that back tail support actually intersects with the barbecue skewer, so it locks it in.
Nice.
Thank you, Josh. Talk into the mic.
I'm sorry, I'm talking to Josh and he's on the left.
Yeah, I know.
Watch this. Hey. Isn't that cool? That's traveled around the car.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm not really good at that. That wasn't cool. But yeah, it was fun. Other than that, we just took a lot of key suggestions and put it in. But if you're going to build a Bloody Wonder, the new version of plans will be up today. The kit will be out. The speed build kit now will be out. And also, just don't bother when you're going along with the build video. Don't bother with tapering that back step. I honestly think it makes it better.
Yeah. It's fantastic. We flew it combat and did some bad stuff to him. I can't believe, Alex, you flew one without one aileron.
Yes.
And without one vertical stabilizer, right?
Yeah, well, after work one day, me and Josh had a mini combat with just me and him. We both flew one battery for, it had to be like 15 minutes.
Maybe. It felt like a half hour.
It felt like a half hour. We were flying forever, and eventually we had a head-on collision. And Josh went down, and I kept flying, but it felt like my rates were just like cut in half. And I lost, what else did I lose, a rudder?
Your rudder was floppy.
Yeah. Anyways, brought it back in, and one of the whole ailerons was completely gone. And it didn't do anything. It just cut the rates in half. It was like...
You were still rolling it.
Yeah.
And like looping.
Flying inverted. It was fine.
He knocked my vertical fin off, and I threw it back up in the air, and I realized you really don't need all that much vertical fin on these things to fly well.
Yeah, it's awesome. So. And it's so fast on that. The suppo motor setup that used.
Yeah, from Altitude Hobbies.
Yeah. It was as fast as the big end on a 3S.
Yeah.
It's so... There's hardly any drag to it. It's just a wing, and that's it.
One other change we did, too, we fall in love with putting landing gears on these things.
Yeah.
So we put them in the kit, but there's an etch line on the back of the fin, and since you don't need that much vertical stability, we actually cut about an inch from the bottom of the fin and just put some barbecue skewers there for some – that's my Max. He's trying to get in now. You put some barbecue skewers on it, and you can take it off with the landing gear, and it's phenomenal.
It's so good.
Yeah, it just tracks straight as an arrow because the back fins kind of keel it down and make it stable, but we had a lot of fun with the Blue Wonder setup with that because you could just touch and goes and whatever you wanted to do all day long.
Austin, you flew it.
I did. Yeah, it was an absolute blast.
How much have you been flying before?
Oh, I think the last time I flew was an FT Flyer at Joe Knoll. Like actual plane, I'm flying in the simulator a little bit, but yeah, it was great.
You heard you had some success cutting a streamer. On accident, maybe, still.
We were in the timeout phase before we were going to all try to get each other, and I was just watching my plane and not anyone else's, and just took Alex's streamer off, like, very, very, very first thing. And my prop was so full of streamer, it wouldn't fly, so it just glided to the ground. And, yeah, so it was a blast, though.
I don't know. Did that make it into the episode?
I don't know. You'll find out today.
Comes out today.
I haven't seen it yet, so... Yeah.
So good stuff there. And by the way, we're talking a lot about NEF. There's a reason why Josh Scott wasn't there. Josh, why don't you fill him in? Because you did something amazing this past year, too.
Yeah, sure. Every year for the last 4 or 5 years, we hold a youth and young adult conference called Love is Red. And I am kind of the main music director for that whole thing. And this year was our biggest event yet. We fly in speakers from all over the world. And we bring in different youth ministries and young adult ministries from all over the country. We had about 2,000 high schoolers and college-age students at this event. Holy and God. It was definitely our best one ever. It was really great. If you want to see pictures on Instagram about it, you can go to hashtag LARConf. That's hashtag LIRCONF. You can see all kinds of pictures and videos from it. But leading up to that, we also, every year, for the last 3 years, we've released an original album for the conference. It's not for the conference, but we always release it at the conference. And so in the months leading up to the conference, not only was I preparing for all the live music and everything that we'd be doing there, but also for the album that we recorded. And so the album is called Love is Life, and it is on iTunes if you want to check it out.
Nice. You guys got to check it out. We were at Coming Home from Pinnacle, and I think you played some for me.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's a reason why Josh Scott's not in every episode. He's doing these amazing things, and we're not going to ask him ever to compromise it because it's powerful and good for people. But please check out his music. He is so amazingly talented with that.
Well,
you wouldn't say that, but I'm going to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's fine. You can say it if you want to.
That's a nice plug.
That's a verbal hug from me.
Yeah, that's where my life has been for the last 3 or 4 months or so.
Well, good job, man. We're really proud of you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I saw some pictures on Instagram, and it looked pretty epic.
Yeah, we have a phenomenal lighting designer, for one thing, and he just every year just keeps getting better and better, and he's pretty much a genius. But there's a whole team of people that – come together and just make it just an amazing event. So, yeah, check it out on Instagram. And if you want to, Josh is destroying the studio right now as we speak.
Slowly but surely.
Our high-quality painter's drop cloths that we use as sound paneling have just fallen from the ceiling.
Come on, Max. All right.
But, you can check out the website, loveisred.net, if you are interested in coming out for next year's event.
Cool. And speaking of Instagram, Alex and I just started a... flight test Instagram.
Well, we restarted it.
Yeah, rebooted it since it had zero posts, zero and followers.
And we forgot
zero.
The password, so we deleted it.
Decided to stop persevering and just start over.
So now we have an actual Instagram account. I think there's like 1,000 followers there now.
Yeah. I got over 100 now thanks to you.
Whoa, and yeah. Josh Bixler also has an Instagram account.
Yeah, and that's flight test is at flight test, and Josh's is at flight test JB.
So that's true.
To see what Josh is up to in his basement.
I took pictures the other day.
It's not as weird as it sounds. Or maybe it is.
It's pretty weird.
You know, the sad thing is I'm such a noob to social media. Is this what this is called?
Yep.
Social media?
You got it.
Right. Nailed it.
I'm a noob to that because it doesn't fly. And it was so funny because Austin and Alex were so kind. They took me and it's like, okay, here's how you work the camera. And okay, if you do a hashtag, that means people can search. But if you want to tag somebody, I got to remember just you do an asterisk, right?
At sign.
No wonder why it's not working.
Now, just so you know, also, Josh, I noticed that when you've been replying to people on Instagram, make sure you put at and like an at symbol and their name, or it won't pop up on their phone that you replied to them.
I got a message from a guy the other day, and he was so loving about that. He's like, yeah, thanks for the comment, and by the way, you did it all wrong.
I really wish that all the information we just gave Josh would be helpful for our listeners, but you guys already know how to do all that.
Do you guys know how to use Instagram?
It's just him.
We'll teach you.
So we have our fourth 100 episode coming up.
400?
400.
It's our fourth 100.
I think it works both ways, yeah. If you think about it.
Why don't we say it's our 400th first?
It's our first 400.
Our first 400th episode.
There you go.
Okay, that works. Okay.
Nobody cares.
Sorry about that.
So what are we doing that is incredibly interesting for our 400th episode?
Oh, we thought going small would be really good.
Yeah, just...
We should bring out vapors on 15-mile-an-hour windy days.
We're actually going to go for microscopic planes, yes, where you have to use the power of science to see what we're doing.
Sub-milligram flying. No, no, we didn't. We put foam to the extreme, didn't we, David?
Yes, we did. I took a Spitfire and blew it up to 200, and you took a Cruiser.
A Cruiser.
And blew it up to 200%.
Yes.
And for people that never... scaled something up or down, percentages work in a weird way where 200% is twice the length and the width and the height. So it's pretty large.
It's cubed.
Yeah, it's very, yeah. It becomes really large. So my Spitfire is 11 sheets of foam, roughly a little bit, maybe 12.
Well, I'm looking at the wing of your Spitfire right now, and it's taller than the doorway.
Yeah, it's
just the wing.
It's almost to the ceiling.
That's a 7-foot doorway.
Yeah.
So 11 sheets of foam in mine and 23.
I think it's 23 sheets of foam on mine. And mine is, I wanted to cheat a little bit. It's 99.5 inches.
Oh, really?
But can I just say it's 100?
Yeah.
I'm just
going to
stick a little Q-tip on each end or something to get me there. But yeah, it's.
That'll work.
And I had to do mine in a 3-piece way.
Yeah, you did. So you used Poplar.
Poplar, yeah.
In there.
Yeah, and I think we're going to do an episode.
We ought to.
Max wants out again.
Oh, really?
He's bored.
The grass is always greener on the other side of the door.
Bad podcast. But no, we use Poplar Spars this time, and we're going to do a video because there's some really cool ways you can get a lot of strength still using foam board. And we want to show that to people because it was a blast. It was a fun project.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
We were sponsored, too, by it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. HostGator.
Also the sponsor of this podcast.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. But, yeah, so what did we do with the gators? Because there's HostGator has a mascot called Snappy, which is a little yellow and blue gator.
My kids won't leave him alone, by the way.
We posted some pictures of it on Facebook. They sent us, like, 100.
Your kids beheaded one the other day. I was watching them outside. And
cruel children.
A very, very dark side to them. I just don't know what to do with that. But yeah, they basically sent us a whole bunch of these little snappy squeezy ball things, like stress ball snappies.
Mm-hmm. And plush
ones.
Puffy ones.
David immediately decided to dismember
yes.
some of them.
So, yeah, I cut one in half and put it on my Spitfire, and then I took the arms from another.
I don't know if we should give it all away yet. Yeah. We've still got some time before it comes out.
That's true. Oh, wait, that's true. That's the end.
It's a week.
31st. Right.
It's exactly 31st. A week. It's exactly a week from today.
Okay, so.
Way to rein us in, Alex, because we would have totally just ruined
everything.
Yeah,
you guys are giving it all away.
I do want to point out that we were dismembering for a good cause. I just want to point that out, that we weren't just destroying snappies.
Oh, I destroyed my tricopter in that episode, too.
Do we tell them about the smoke and the fire, or do we just leave that there? I'm just trying to throw them off. Maybe there was smoke, and maybe there was fire, but maybe there wasn't.
Alex's tricopter died, so that one.
I had a brown out.
Yeah.
It died fabulously, though.
It cut out, and I was like 800 feet in the air or something like that, and it cut out, went inverted,
and then
was flying down.
Throttle.
And then as soon as it cut back in, I was inverted, and it went full throttle right before it hit the ground, straight into the ground.
See, just drove it.
See, something you don't want to do, you don't want to just like kind of wreck it and be like, is it salvageable? This is going to be so much work. You just want to just destroy it.
Yeah, Alex is very digital. It's all or nothing. It's either fully destroyed or fully working.
You want to know that there's no resurrecting, and that you can just start anew on your next tricopter.
It was a beautiful death. So, you know what, though? One thing we can talk about that we used a lot, and it probably wouldn't have been as much if it wasn't for the death of your tricopter, was the blackout quads.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we go show over
that
for
a second? And the hex. Yeah.
Is this turning into, like, what's new in RC?
You know what? We're just chit-chatting today, then we're going to answer some questions.
Just that's keep
the,
it real.
That's
like
the format.
So blackout quad, what's that?
Yeah. Mr. Blackout, we don't know his name because he... Apparently, it's just Blackout. We've emailed him.
He signs all of his emails Blackout, so we don't know what his email is.
Yeah, so you got to be like, hey, Blackout.
We can't call him Mr. B.O., I know that much.
We'll give a dollar.
Thank you, Blackout, very much. They sent us couple airframes, two mini H quads and two mini hexes.
Yep.
And I'll be honest, I was skeptical at first, especially when I saw the price, because they're a little pricey. They're a little pricey, but once we got them together and we maidened them, they deliver. I mean, they definitely perform.
It sounds so angry because they
sounds like an angry nest of hornets flying through the air.
So how big is it?
It's about this. I mean, Josh's can of Mountain Dew is taller than it, and it's I don't know. The hex is about maybe smaller than the size of a basketball.
It's more than a pie plate.
It's tiny. And the quad, the GoPro on the quad just looks cartoonish. Like, it's so funny. It's got to be the smallest flying GoPro in the world.
Looks like someone put like a 2X size GoPro on a normal size quad.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Yeah, it looks like a pile of stuff. It's just a GoPro on the top and the battery, and it's like, but it's carbon fiber all, and it's 5-inch props swinging at ridiculous
carbon
RPMs.
Fiber props. And we didn't mention it. These are actually racing multi rotors.
Yeah,
they are
2200 kV motors. Yeah, like I wasn't expecting that. Faster than our big tricopters and quads and stuff like that. They definitely cook.
And we use the multi-wee boards from Ready to Fly Quads.
Yeah, Paul from Ready to Fly Quads sent us multi-wee boards and the sketch file. So all we had to do is just download the firmware and plug it in.
And it
flew.
Amazing.
They're tiny, but they fly like a giant, stable, locked-in multi-copter.
Yeah, it's really awesome. So we're going to do an episode on that. I don't know when is that coming out.
We don't know that yet.
Okay,
but
so we're
maybe a Let's Fly.
Yeah,
Let's Fly.
Which
we should talk about that.
Yeah, Josh Scott, I don't know if you caught the Blunt Nose Versa episode, but we have a new format that seems to be pretty popular, and it's called a Let's Fly. You ever see like Let's Play, the video game YouTube?
Right.
Where they, you know, two or three people play a game together and they just comment on what they're doing and talk to each other.
Right.
We do the same thing, except it's a Let's Fly. So like FPV, everybody goes out and flies. And we did it. Josh and I were flying the new Blunt Nose Versa, and David was chasing us in a tricopter. And we pretty much just went out and burned a battery and filmed it. And it turned out really awesome. It was pretty entertaining. It
became an episode by accident.
Yeah.
We went out thinking we were just going to use the aerial footage on top of something else for the episode. And even though the audio wasn't the best and some other things weren't super great about the episode, it just really worked.
I've watched it like three or four times.
All of us were like thoroughly entertained by watching it, you know, and I've watched it more than once now.
And wow, guys, thank you so much. Everyone, they give their opinions freely, and they've been really supportive of it. So we'll definitely do more. And Josh, I think we need to get you involved on that too.
Yeah, we were thinking we're these blackout quads because me and David have one of the hexes. He has a quad.
I love the quad.
And they're fun to chase after things because they're so fast. So we were thinking like you could fly.
You can run through the field and you guys can chase.
Dodging.
I was thinking more like you could fly like, I don't know, whatever you wanted, an apprentice or something pretty, a little bit quick. And we would chase after.
We got the Kraken all set for us.
Oh, yeah, the Kraken would be awesome.
That would be fast.
Yeah.
We can try to land on it.
Yeah, I like that.
Put a target on the Kraken to land on.
That would be awesome.
A helipad.
So, Josh, now you know that the next episode with you is going to try
nice.
To
be. Nice. All right, there we go. Let's do it.
Let's
fly.
What happened? What else happened at NEF then?
Oh, my goodness.
So much.
This is a shout-out to how cordial the organizers were. They were so kind and let us do the whole pass-the-transmitter thing. And I know we kind of touched on it, but We basically asked them, say, hey, we're going to have these planes, and if people come up and want to fly, we're going to let them fly it. Is that okay? And they're like, go for it. Have fun. And we had more kids and adults, and like you're talking about, the Viggen was constantly up. Guys, if anyone's organizing events, try to find some way to have it where people can experience other people's products, because that was a huge value.
Yeah.
You don't just get to talk about how it flies. You get to let them fly it and let them have that experience. So that was a blast. Little Noah, let's talk about him for a second.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so they visited the day before.
Oh, yeah, they emailed Thursday, and they're like, hey, we're driving in from Iowa to come to NEF, and they're part of the West Michigan Park Flyers, which they're an awesome group of guys.
Tristan and them?
Tristan, yeah. If any of you saw the glider tow from, what was it, the Horizon Indoor
Horizon
event?
Indoor, yeah.
Last end of last year. Tristan's in the same group. Awesome group of people. Anyways, Dwayne and his son Noah emailed us Thursday, say, hey, we're going to be in the area for NEF. We were wondering if we could stop by to see the shop. So they stop by, and Noah, he's so humble, so mellow, quiet. He just was
walking. How old is he?
Seven
years old.
Wow.
And he walked around the shop, and he was, you know, smiling, looking at all the airplanes.
I didn't even know he flew.
Oh, yeah, we thought he, you know, his dad was in the hobby, and maybe he flew, maybe not. Turns out this guy is a team pilot. An epic team pilot sponsored 3D pilot. I mean,
wait, for real? Like he actually is?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah. I thought you were using hyperbole.
No.
No. That's amazing.
The only reason he wasn't wearing the shirt was they didn't have one small enough.
This kid's transmitter is bigger than his head. Like, I was telling Josh and David that, like, this kid flying almost brought a tear to my eye because he was that talented. And he did some cool demonstrations, but the combat was absolutely, like, I still can't believe that happened.
So it's a full contact combat event. And around how many people? 40 feet?
40 or so.
Yeah. Started, yeah. Everyone stands on the line and then they honk a horn and everyone just throws them in the air. And the last person in the air wins.
Oh, and I got to give a thank you to someone because I didn't bring any cash with me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Chris. Chris P and his dad. Yeah, they've been
fans. We've had the honor of meeting them a couple times.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, they are awesome.
But anyways, the combat, the 40 planes take off. We were all in it, weren't we?
I wasn't.
Oh, yeah, that was just Josh. Just but yeah. Josh did pretty well until somebody broke his prop. And 40 planes indoors, it's a lot. That's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And it went on forever. I can't believe their batteries lasted so long. But it boiled down to the guy from, what's it called, Foam and Tape?
Foam and Tape guy, yeah. He is a classy guy.
Yeah. And Noah was the last one. He was flying an EPP.
Noah had a direct strike on his tail. He flew a 3D plane, and he had a direct strike on the tail. And half of his elevator, or a horizontal stabilizer, just ripped off. Mm-hmm. The rudder was loose. It didn't do anything. Yeah. It ripped off, too. And he continues to fly.
Yeah, it was incredible. And actually, by the end of the combat, it was just down to two of them.
Yeah. He took out two people while having no control surfaces in the back.
It wasn't just like a glancing blow. Like, he nailed two
people. No, he nailed them. And they just went down. I'm like, how is he doing this?
Yeah.
And he just kept on going.
And by the end of it, he didn't have any rudder, no elevator. No rudder or elevator. He was just using ailerons and the throttle somehow. And he had so many close calls where he looked like he was about to hit the ground.
Yeah.
And he just somehow pulled out of it. Incredible.
So did he win?
No, he came in second.
Oh. Yeah.
But the foam and tape guy shared the prize with them, which is really cool.
And then I think they gave him a new plane too, because his was just shredded.
But it was funny because I think the plane that he got was a West Michigan Park Flyers.
Yeah.
Which he probably has access to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was awesome. I went over and asked them, how did you do it? And he was like, yeah, you just move your stick. More or less.
Just
he was
fly.
Like, yeah, just fly it.
Yeah.
I must fly it.
He was amazing.
That was
great caliber of people there. Noah is just kind of, like you said, humble.
Mm-hmm. When they came to the shop before Neff, they didn't say one thing about how
yeah, we're here to help out the
I think it was at the beginning of the combat I saw his dad flying. And I was like, is Noah flying in the combat? He's like, he had to run to the restroom. I'm flying for him for a second.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That's hilarious.
Great little man.
Also, the University of Akron was there. They have
the aero design team.
Yes. Aero design team.
Which that's my alma mater. I'm an alum from the UA.
I have no idea what you just said.
I went to the University of Akron.
Okay, thank
that's
you.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what that means.
Yeah. They're in a international competition with model airplanes. So the goal is... One of the competitions is you fly an RC plane and you have a bomb drop. You're supposed to drop this heavy load.
It's pretty heavy, too.
Pretty bad. It's pretty heavy load.
It's like a giant sandbag.
It's a heavy payload.
A heavy payload. That sounds better. Okay.
Yeah. Like saying it over and over again. That's weird.
Just keep confirming. So, it sounds weird.
Yeah, so they have a camera, they fly it up, they fly it around, and they have one guy dropping it, and they have to drop it on an orange cone, and the closer you are, the more points you get. And it's an international competition, and they had a plane there. It's huge, and to simulate that, they have to fly long range. They have to load it up with like 12 pounds of extra dead weight and all this crazy stuff, and they fly around and then try to bomb this target. So it sounds like exactly what we were doing.
Oh, yeah.
So it was awesome. I went over and... we got in deep discussions about sensors, and I had a great time over there. I don't know what happened, but we talked a lot about weird stuff.
Yeah, they're like, we watch all your videos on waypoints and stuff. I'm like, oh, man.
Alex is like,
we don't really know what we're doing. But yeah, there is potential. We have some 3D robotics episodes coming up, and we would love to collaborate with them.
Great group of young men and women both.
Yeah, there was a lot of women compared to what I thought in that group. That was awesome. So I think I'm going to go up maybe this week and visit him.
Nice.
Awesome.
We'll see. That was great. So we'll have a link in the show notes to check that out.
Wait,
right?
What are we going
to
have a link for? Sorry, I was doing
Akron
something.
Akron Aero team.
Oh, yes.
Aero engineering team.
Yeah, no problem. If they have a link. I don't know if they do.
Yeah, we'll find something. Otherwise, we'll edit this out.
Maybe they don't know about the internet.
The interwebs?
I think they do.
The interwebs.
Yeah, really cool. They had problems with some stuff, so I try to give them some pointers on the things I know.
Does Andres Liu ring a bell for anyone?
Yes.
Oh, my God. He rolled your vegan in like 2 seconds.
He came over and was like, hey, David, it's nice to meet you. I'm like, I recognize this kid. And we met him at Toledo.
He's gotten a growth spurt.
Yeah. He was such a tiny little kid when we met him the first time. And now he's like twice as
an awesome little man.
Twice as tall.
The reason I asked is because 3 minutes ago, I just got in my inbox. He left us a voicemail.
Oh!
So we could listen to that.
Are you excited?
I haven't previewed it though. So
he was flying that Vigan like a pro.
He was. Yeah, he came over and like, oh, you have a pilot there. Do you want to fly
it? He was
it?
Like the first one to fly the Vigan, so it was still pristine.
It was pristine. So I had no idea about his abilities or anything. He was like, I threw it off and he rolled it, inverted, and it just flew it around. I'm like, okay. So I'm done here. It's like flying it like a pro. That was awesome. And it was kind of crazy when you flew the Vigan inside. You had to give pointers because when you high alpha that thing, and it sticks.
It sticks, yeah. You get stuck and you just keep going straight. I drifted over the 3D guys. I don't think they like me very much. I don't do stuff on purpose, but I get myself into these situations. And
Tell them about the gentleman that you murdered his airplane.
Oh, Carl, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Old-timer Carl. I think he's actually part of the Doylestown Barnstormers, which is pretty cool.
Oh,
yeah,
because
my dad's in that club. But I was flying David's Spitfire, and the thing had a landing gear, and I had this weird obsession with landing gears, and I was just driving around on the ground and doing donuts and, like, flooring it and just, like, flying around on one wheel. And I ground looped it and then took off on accident. And so I was going into oncoming traffic. I was like flying the wrong way. And this poor old guy had a real nice little mosquito. And I just pulverized it just like right through it. And it went into a million pieces. And I just felt terrible. So we ended up giving him a plane to replace his mosquito because that's not a cheap plane.
No.
You're such a bully.
But he was so gracious about it, though. He is such a nice guy.
Yeah, he was real cool. He's like, you don't need to do that. And I was like, trust me.
And he was flying it like crazy. Yeah. It was a Mustang.
Oh, it was the Mustang from the Weekender Mustang from the Build Tune Fly, and we did a review on it. Which those things were a handful, and I told him because we flew the Corsair, me and Chris Roncaglione, we flew the Corsair in there, or I did, and I couldn't get it trimmed out and ended up tip-stalling it and crashing it into the ground. And I told Carl, I was like, you know, this is a little bit of a handful. You might want to wait until you're outside to get it set up. And he was so impressed because it's an awesome-looking plane. He was just sitting there looking at it for a while. And he was smiling. And then he eventually found a battery, put a battery in, started taxiing it, and went out to the flight line. I'm like, oh, no, I hope he doesn't crash it. I hope he doesn't crash it. Took it off. Flew it like a pro.
I can't believe it. It looked like a completely different airplane.
Well, he told me, and this is something we didn't mention in the Build, Tune, Fly, for those of you who are interested in the Weekender. For the indoor, he was flying it pretty slow, and what he did was he mixed in rudder with the aileron.
Nice.
So it was flying so good. He was flying it with Mark Sturmer's B-17, which is like, what, 8 foot, nine foot nice. B-17?
It looked scale.
Yeah, it was perfectly scale with the B-17, so it was really, really cool. I felt terrible about that. I still do. Crushing his plane. Yeah. I always do that.
Talking about B-17s and B-24s and stuff, we met a guy called Adam Drain.
Such a nice guy.
Such a nice guy. And he works with a full, a real B-24.
Full scale.
Or
B-17. B-17.
Yes, yeah. B-17. And they tour the country with this plane and offer rides. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's...
And they're also, aren't they building another...
They're restoring...
He told me they're building it from scratch.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right.
That's a separate... Insane. I think that's a second company or second group that he works with. He works with two different groups.
Okay.
So, and they have a flying, I believe, B-24.
Yeah.
In that group.
Oh, that's...
I believe he's like an engineer or something, but he also said that he's logged about 20 hours in the pilot seat of
Isn't that awesome?
B-17, which... In this day and age, that's unheard of.
The cool thing is that plane is the only B-17 that never got rebuilt.
It's original.
It's still original, and it was never like decommissioned or like taken apart or had to be rebuilt. So it's really old, janky. They just fix what they need on it.
Yeah, I was telling them like we want to get it more into full scale and do some like stuff on full scale episodes. We have a system coming up on smoke systems, and we're going to show how like full scale smoke system relates to an RC smoke system. And he's like, "Oh, that's cool." He's like, "The B-17 has a built in smoke system. The only problem is you can never turn it off. It just always smokes."
When you start it up, the cabin fills with smoke, and people freak out. It's like, "Now it's fine. It's normal.
Don't worry about it.
Clears the head."
Yeah, that's crazy. So
hopefully, we get the honor of working with him in the future.
Yeah, it's good to talk to him too.
Does he fly the B-17 or the B-24?
B-17.
Okay.
And I believe he's an engineer, but he's logged some hours in it too.
So where did the B-24 come in?
The company he works for.
Yeah, they restore one.
They have a flying one, and then they're building a B-17 as well.
I was like 10 or 11, like one of my favorite war books is called Under the War-Torn Sky, and it was about a B-24 pilot.
Oh, yeah?
And so I always wanted to fly in a B-24.
Those planes are just magical.
Yeah, so hopefully we can figure something out there to show what it actually is like taking a ride on that plane. Yeah.
Hey, maybe he can fly it into Flayfest. I mean,
I don't travel in that, right?
Yeah, grease it in.
The airstrip is like 2,600 feet. That's enough,
that's
right?
That's fine, yeah.
That's plenty.
For crash landing.
He should be able to turn it around.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, absolutely awesome time meeting all the people there. There's so many great people.
And yeah, just two thumbs up to the people that put on the event. It was really, really great.
We also did something. We were tired. We were packing up. And this really nice guy next to us, Dave.
Yeah.
He bought a Spitfire kit from Laser Toys.
Well, actually, on Friday, he's like... How long does it take to put the... He was talking to you, wasn't he? He's like, how long does it take to put this together?
What's my answer for everything? About 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was true.
Which is not true. Yeah,
and he was feeling a little bit under the weather. And he's like, I'd love to get some help. And I was like, let me know tomorrow. Maybe we can jump on it. And life got really busy on Saturday. And he's like, didn't know if you'd... And, I'd have time and I tapped David's shoulder and Alex's shoulder and was like, guys, can you help? And you were on it like way down.
Let's scream. It's like, do it.
The three of us jumped on it. And I don't know. We got to do that regularly because it was a blast. We got a little group around us and it was a speed build from box to flying.
Yeah, with the electronics, everything. We made in it and it was 48 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
It was fun, too.
We can cut that 10 minutes of that.
I think so.
That's cool.
So if you have any, if you build kits or speed build kits and you have friends that do, try getting a group of 3 to 4 guys together and speed build a speed build kit and just see how fast you can do it. And it's a lot of fun.
I issue you a challenge. Beat our 48 minutes from opening the box to flying it.
And we want to see a speed or a time lapse thing with a clock in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to see the clock.
Yeah. If you beat our 48 minutes, we will thank you.
Yes. We will respect you more.
But I think that's something we need to do at Flight Fest is some speed building of speed builds.
Yeah, that was awesome. We had a good time.
It was a blast. Absolute blast.
Well, we need to move things along here, unfortunately, even though we could probably talk about NEF for another hour or so pretty easily.
Don't worry. In a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about CEF.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And Toledo.
And Toledo. Real quick, I wanted to mention, I know that there was one of the top rated comments on Facebook when I put out the voicemail link again was, are you guys ever going to come to Europe? And so
I am.
Yeah, well, the answer, short answer is yes, David will be here at the end of April. But the answer actually for flight test is yes. We're going to be doing a Europe meetup.
And thanks to the wonderful folks, can I say it?
Yeah, sure.
Immersion RC.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some episodes. We're going to be doing some episodes with Immersion RC across the pond. That's going to be in June, the end of June.
So in Switzerlandish?
Yeah, they're Switzerlandish.
Immersion's located where? Zurich? Is it Zurich?
I believe, what's the other place in Switzerland?
David. That's incredibly racist.
David.
There's another main city, I feel like, other than Zurich.
He's ready to smack you right now.
It's incredibly racist.
I sense some Swedish rage coming.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank now. But yeah,
you don't even know. You don't even know.
If you could have rattled off three places, that would have helped your case.
Yeah.
So anyway, we don't know exactly where. We don't know exactly when. We do know it'll be at the end of June, and we'll get you more details. But we were just excited about it and wanted to tell people. Well, we are going to be doing that.
And one of the goals, too, and we don't know the logistics of it, is they're going to make it possible for us to hopefully be able to do a meet and greet, meet up and fly and
correct.
Have fun, make memories.
That's what I was referring to. We just want to meet people and fly with people.
Yeah.
And so we're hoping to take a day to be able to do that. And we'll get you guys location and official date here in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
But wanted to at least make you guys aware about it, and we were excited about it, so we wanted to mention
it's a real honor.
So I think that we can probably get into some Q&A.
Sure. Go for it.
Well, let's first do the one I just received a couple minutes ago from Mr. Liu, and we'll play that.
Mr. Liu.
Hi, Flight Test. This is Andres from Kent, Ohio. I am 13 years old and have been flying for about 3 years now. I had a great time at NEF, and I met David, who was gracious enough to let me fly his Viggen. And on Saturday, he gave me his mini Viggen, which I want to thank you for. I can't express how much it means to me. And it was too bad you guys weren't here on Sunday, because Alex Zavada was called for a pilot prize.
Oh, man.
Of course, you guys weren't here, so you missed that. But thanks for the great show. I love your podcast, and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Nice.
Man. Dang it. It probably was the DX18, too.
Yeah.
I never win.
Speaking of winning, you know what? Every year my kids go to a flying event.
They always win everything.
They always win stuff. They won an Ironman, a little RC Ironman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you bought that.
No.
Oh, man. I don't know what that is.
Jen looked around. She's like, seriously? Again? It happened again?
Hey, it's good luck just to take them, you know?
Yeah.
You win stuff.
I was a little jealous.
You can't beat that.
That was what a great little guy. And Dave, hats off to you, man, for passing on your Viggen.
You
picked a better guy to give it to.
Yeah, I think he's going to treat it good. Hopefully kill it sooner rather than later, because that's what it's intended to do.
There you go. There's your marching orders.
To die. Planes are made to die and create memories in the process.
I think you guys are
RC
gonna...
planes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Let's clear that up.
We'll get that on the record. I think you guys are going to get a kick out of this next voicemail here. Nope, not that one.
Nope.
Hello, Flight Test team. My name is Mark, and I'm one of your fans, currently located in Turkey. I would like to know if there are any plans for making a bigger version of the Spitfire or a similar warbird. I really enjoy flying it and would like to see something bigger and faster. I'm thinking something around maybe 60 inches wingspan, 6S battery, 14-inch prop, and maybe even some retracts. Clearly this would mean deviating from your swappable series, but why not start a beefy series or something similar? Thanks, and keep up the great content.
Sorry, it's going to be a 20-inch prop and no retracts.
A little bit bigger wingspan, too.
Because it's sitting across the room.
Yeah, we're looking at it right now.
Yep. So, thanks for your suggestion. That's an awesome suggestion.
I should do that. I like the beefy series.
Yeah.
I like that beefy.
Like chunky series.
Chunky series.
It's like Mark looked into the future and saw a giant Spitfire.
Good job, Mark.
Thank you.
All right, this is a noob question, so maybe a good one for Josh Scott.
Maybe.
All right, here we go.
Hey guys, I'm just wanting to ask if what RC transmitter and starter plane could you recommend as someone who doesn't have any experience at all in RC? Thank you.
Josh Scott, go. Lightning.
DX18.
Spectrum loves you right now.
We actually talked about this in our beginner series.
Nice plug.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Seamless.
For that.
We did say the 5 was a good one, right?
DX5, yeah.
DX6, pretty
six
good.
Size great.
Aurora 9. Just yeah.
That's a little pricey.
Yeah, that's a little
pricey, yeah. Especially with those receivers.
So yeah, I don't know. The less shiny it is, probably the better.
Yeah. Depends on where you're going. You're usually doing the guitar analogy.
Yes, if you're getting into it, you're not sure if you're going to stay committed to it, go with a 5E. It's like buying a guitar from a pawn shop. If you want to go with something and you know you're going to be in it and you're going to invest in it, a DX, you know, 8 or a 9 or an Aurora 9 is like buying a Fender or a Yamaha.
Did I get
no?
I'd say like a Duesenberg.
A Duesenberg? Yeah. Isn't it a car?
Yeah, it is a car.
Wants a guitar.
It's too. A car and a guitar.
Wow.
It's a car guitar.
How about
so? And cars also have Fenders.
Yeah. Wow.
I've never noticed.
I'm seeing a mind blown.
There seems to be a trend.
Yamaha is also the name brand of a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of other things.
Okay, so we
so anyways, back on track.
Did we answer that question?
I like Spectrum for beginners.
Yeah.
Why?
Just because they're approachable and
lots of bind and flies.
Readily available, lots of bind and flies. So like the DX4 and DX5 are good. If you want something with digital memory, go with the DX6 if you have the dough. You can. I think the new DX6 can store up to like 250 models, which is awesome.
And you can't break the antenna. It has that nice top on it with the diversity mm-hmm. antennas, which mm-hmm. is good.
So like with the DX4 and the DX5, they work great. But the problem is when you have two models, every time you switch between two models, you have to rebind, retrim, and pretty much remade in that plane and get it set up every single time. Whereas like the DX6, you can save multiple models, multiple settings and trims, and just switch back and forth easily.
Now I have something to add there. Outside of the U.S., Spectrum is not as big as it is here.
That's a good point.
So find a manufacturer that makes that sells readily available and cheap receivers, mm-hmm. and then get one that has a screen on it, a transmitter with a screen, so you can change models and mm-hmm. at Expo.
Yeah, Hobby King also has the Orange series and the Tyrannus.
Is that what a Saurus?
Tyrannosaurus Rex series.
I can't even say it.
Tyrannus. Turnigy 9X. Those are all good, too. We haven't actually dealt with them ourselves, but we've heard nothing but good things about them.
Is it safe to say that an intermediate flyer really wouldn't have much use for more than 9 channels? Is that
more
safe
use
to say?
Than really 6 channels.
Yeah.
6 channels will last you a long time.
Sure.
Josh, what's your favorite airframe?
Favorite airframe?
Yeah.
Right now, it's the Snowball.
Snowball, there we go.
That's a good one.
Do you want to build
that's,
a snowball?
That's 3 channel, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good beginner, and it takes a beating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Snowball at NEF, they crashed it. They had to crash it 25 times, like no exaggeration.
It's still flyable, too.
I think it was 25 times in the couple hours I was there.
Yeah, so. I think 15 of those were Noah and Michael, Josh's kids.
For me, it actually created like one of the most fun and memorable moments of one of the worst winters I've ever experienced. So,
that's a good point.
I love it just for that.
And they really are all-terrain vehicles. I mean, you can go. We were going over the
we had the Snowball on the AstroTurf, and it was going.
Yeah. Nice. Yes. So, cool. Yeah, check out the beginner series. The first episode is choosing your airframe, so check that out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Next question is Chris from California, I think.
Can you guys make a swappable Super Cub? That'd be awesome.
That's it?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
We can.
I don't know
and
when.
We might.
the Warbird. Today the Bloody Wonder version 2 is coming out. The Warbirds. We're going to start 3 months of Warbirds.
Warbird campaign.
I believe starting with the BF-109. You
gave it away.
Oh, I'm sorry. Take it back.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, not starting with the BF-109. But, yeah, that pushing back the FT Trainer, which will now probably be August. I guess that'll be afterwards. But hopefully it'll be like a fun cub.
Yeah. It's on the list and has been for a while.
Yeah.
All right. Next question is from Griffin about Ceph.
Hey, Flight Test. I'm Griffin Dollar from Phenix City, Alabama, and I have a question for you today. Will you be coming to Ceph 2014 this year in Georgia? Mac Hodges has closed his Hodges Hobby Shop in Americus, Georgia, but they will still be doing the Ceph show there this year. And if you are going to be coming, please just send me an email with the days you'll be attending. Thanks. Hope to see you there.
He's adorable.
Oh, I like his accent.
Yes.
Yes, we will be coming. What dates are we going?
I think the 7th to the 13th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So well, that's the whole week.
Sounds reasonable. Yeah. I don't know.
I think we're going to be there the last 4 days.
Last 4 days?
We're going to travel and we're going to do, I think, three different episodes on the way there.
Ah, cool.
So
yes, we will be there the last four days.
Middle to the end of it. We'll be there.
Yes.
We'll get there at the middle.
We'll be there for you, I swear. Anytime you want me, I'll be there.
Wow.
I just wanted to harmonize all of a sudden.
And now,
lightning.
And now, Flight Test the Musical.
That works. Okay, now we can go.
All right, this is Rob with a question about products.
Hey guys, love the podcast. The new format on the videos is great. More videos, more videos, more videos, and maybe you guys can do a scratch build, large size, 4-channel cub. That'd be fun. Love to buy one from you guys. Keep it up. More videos. More. This is Rob signing out.
So more Super Cub.
More Super Cub. You know,
and then more.
Huge Super Cub would be cool.
A huge one, yeah.
Huge. Like 12-footer.
Did you guys see the video of that? The guy that did him and his dad did a half-scale foam board Super Cub.
No. Dollar Tree foam board?
Not Dollar Tree, but they used like the insulation foam board. Yeah, it was a cool video. Right. It's huge. They put like a big gasser on it.
I think we could do it on a Dollar Tree foam board.
I think that's the next evolution. I think we got to do
For Flight Fest, I want to do that Lancaster.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. This one's from Ryan.
Wants more videos.
Yeah, and yes, more videos. This one's from Ryan. I don't think I listened to this one, but here we go.
Hi, Flight Test. It's Ryan here from Ontario. On Hobby King, they have the Hobby King 182 civil aircraft, 500 class airplane, 1300 millimeter wingspan, plug and fly. I was wondering if you guys could do a review of that. I'm looking to get it, but there's really no videos on YouTube other than the one from Hobby King, and they could be biased. Thank you.
You're right.
So could we.
You know, we haven't done a Hobby King review kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know if that one would be the one that we would do, but maybe. We do need to do one soon.
Yeah.
So what plane was it?
It's a new one. It's a new 182.
500 class.
500 class.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Since when? How?
I think in the last 2 weeks.
I almost missed it because I don't know which one that is.
So it's just like a Cessna 182, 500
civil
class.
Aircraft. You know, one thing I love with Hobby King, they always pick out really cool historical unique schemes. So hats off to them on that one.
Yeah, we might have to check it out, but yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
This is Sean from Ohio.
Hi, Flight Test. This is Sean Keplinger from Milford, Ohio. I just recently got back into flying thanks to you guys, and really appreciate that. But one problem that I've had is trying to determine what type of motor to get for my planes. So, for example, the power to weight ratio has been a real burden. So I got the Spitfire put together and slapped an NTM 2826 on it and just really couldn't get it off the ground. So how do you go about determining the best motor? Is it more of a trial and error process? Thanks for everything you do, and keep up the great work, guys.
Josh, do you want to take that?
I'm trying to think what an MTM 2826 size is. That's like a smaller than Blue Wonder, isn't it? Or a Blue Wonder size?
No, 2826 is like the ones that we use, the slightly smaller than the Beef 1200 KV.
Really?
Yeah, it's 2826.
Do you think he's running off of a 3-cell maybe?
I wonder, do you have the prop on the right way?
Yeah.
If you can't get off the ground with that, because it flies on the Blue Wonder.
Yeah.
Yes. Or are you using a 3S 20,000 milliamp battery or something?
Yeah, something either.
20,000.
sorry about that. But yeah, so no, that should fly it just perfectly. Well, we normally, depends on the plane, but 100 watts per pound,
yep.
You easily get in the air.
Yes.
A trainer can go 75.
Yeah.
Glider can even 50. Do 50.
Yeah.
150 starting to get aerobatic or fast flying.
200 3D.
300-ish. It's getting very interesting American style flying. So
what's that supposed to mean?
You no longer need wings.
You brought up a really good point about the prop being on backwards. I've seen that quite a few times. People get a reverse prop or you know something's wrong and it's you know they pop it on backwards. Numbers always point forward.
Numbers forward, and if you don't, you lose like half the thrust and increase the amp draw by 15%.
And you should generally be able to check the specs on each individual plane to find out what it requires to.
You know, for all our airplanes, it's safe. If you can tell that it swings a 947 to a 1047 on a 3-cell,
yeah,
you can pretty much fly almost anything we have. It's just with what efficiency.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a calculator. If you go to ecalc.ch, you can actually try different things and see the efficiency of that power system and that setup. You just input all your information, and you can play around with it. And that's normally what I do when I need, because really now we have the experience to know this size plane needs this size motor roughly. So, and usually we scavenge around in the bins and just find something.
And this is self-serving. One thing with our that we're trying to do in the future is like with Laser Toys, with Altitude Hobbies, with Grayson Hobbies. at least with our products, we're trying to get electronics packs where there's no guesswork. Yeah. You get the servos, you get the extensions, the speed control, the battery, motor, so you know it's going to work.
And that's the idea of our planes as well. We design them around two different setups, and that's it.
Yep.
And I think at least a couple days ago they were out of stock, but I'm hearing really good things about the Suppo motors from Altitude Hobbies.
Fantastic.
Suppo's amazing.
Yeah.
Especially on the Bloody Wonder 2.
Yeah. Like a rocket.
Yeah.
So, there is a system to it. Go with the watts per pound. Alex, quiet. I will beat you.
Sorry.
In a nice way.
So, in a very loving way. there is a system to it. The watt per pounds usually work pretty good.
Real quick, a question. I was just flipping through our at flight test on Twitter. Somebody that just followed us, Christian K, says, "Hey, guys, love the show. What temperature heat gun do you use for your quick build kits? 105 or 165 C? Just ordered a blunt nose Versa."
Heat gun, maybe glue gun is he's talking?
Yeah. Yes, a glue gun.
A glue gun.
He said heat gun. I think he meant glue gun.
Yeah, so a glue gun. We go with the high temp because the low temp stuff doesn't, it cools too quickly.
Correct.
But I know back in Sweden, I bought one from Biltema, and it's way too hot. The problem is you can get industrial power ones that are just that melt everything. Yeah. Like your face off, you squirt out the glue.
What is it? 40 watt, 80 watt? What do we use?
At 40 watts.
40 watts.
I think is good enough.
And you know what? Maybe if you're looking for a hot glue gun, get the multi-temp sticks and get one that has a high and low switch. That way, if it's too hot, you kick it down to low and it'll probably be fine.
Yeah, we use the high setting on ours. And
A lot of people ask us, I get emails, what particular glue gun we use. We don't really have one. We use one until it dies, and then we just buy a new one from Walmart or wherever we're close to.
There's an Artec one for $9 now that we use a lot, and it's quote-unquote cordless. You can leave it in, but you can unplug it for like 5 minutes, and it'll keep its heat. There's also one that has a docking station I use.
It's called Sherbonder.
Sherbonder, yep.
Sherbonder.
Yep. Sherbonder.
Sherbonder.
Not Sherbonder.
No, it's Sherbonder.
It's Shirley Sherbonder.
Sherbonder.
We should just take a picture of the hot glue gun we're currently using and then Instagramming it.
Nice plug there.
There you go.
Professional.
I see what you did there. Hashtag flight test.
Hashtag flight test. Asterisk.
At
persons.
Why don't we play another voicemail?
Okay. Andy has a question about flight times.
Hello, flight test. This is Andy from Germany. I have two questions. How do you maximize your flight time on a multi-rotor? I only get about 6 minutes when I'm lucky, and I feel there's got to be more. Next question. With David going back to Sweden, can we please get an EU warehouse of flight test? Maybe just selling the foam, please? That would be so awesome. Thanks. And keep up the good work.
You're going to take a bunch of foam and, as your carry-on when you go back home. David,
sell one sheet at a time.
Are you ready to run and manage your own warehouse? Because that's what you're about to do.
Maybe.
Sounds like your to-do list.
Maybe. We'll see what happens. Maybe.
We're actually working on a lot of really great stuff, especially for our international friends.
Yeah.
So keep tuned in to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all those things for updates, because we're looking to improve shipping, manufacturing, all of the above in the near future.
And I know that we've said that in the podcast before, but there is, just to let you guys know, this is actually currently happening. This isn't, we're not talking about something
we're getting close.
We're not talking about something in the future that we want to do. This is something that is in the process of happening now.
Yes.
So please stay tuned.
So we're working on it. I have no idea. Multi-rotor flight times, bigger props, lower RPM, is more efficient, lower C rating batteries, with just higher capacity. So, the problem is you always trade something. So if you want longer flight times, you trade off speed or lightness.
Performance.
Performance is the word. So either maneuverability, performance, and if you're just looking to lift a camera straight up and down and just look at things, then sure, you can go with a bigger battery and bigger props and that. But when you're flying around, you want a smaller disc area and the D-cell. Also, when you decel, it's going to wobble a lot more, the more prop area you have. Also, it's just a different kind of flying, I guess. So it's all dependent on what you want to do. But 6 minutes sounds a little low.
A little low.
Yeah, so ecalc.ch is a really good site. You can go in there and play around with different props. And they have a multi-rotor section. So you can try different setups because there's always, each motor has an optimal RPM and current graph. And if you're in that best optimal performance, then you're going to get the best the best flight times out of it, that system.
Lovely. All right. Next question is from Simon.
Hello, flight test. My name is Simon. I'm from Sweden and turned 18 a couple of months ago. First of all, I would like to thank you all for a great show and awesome podcasts, as well as playing my voicemail. So Flight Test has become one of the largest RC-related YouTube channels out there. And another very well-known YouTube channel is RC Powers. Obviously, they were probably the largest one. Not very much now since they quit making videos. However, I came across RC Powers 5 years ago, and right away I started building and the hobby became a part of life. As David probably know, the RC hobby in Sweden is not the most known hobby. I was forced to learn everything myself, and the one who really inspired me was RC Powers. Still to this very day, I daily fly their planes and I think they are absolutely amazing. That's why I would like to hear your guys' opinions and thoughts about this. How have RC Powers inspired you guys, and have you been flying any of their planes? Thank you once again. I daily watch your videos and listen to your podcasts every day. You guys are amazing.
Hey, happy birthday, brother.
Yeah, happy birthday. Yes, I actually was inspired by RC Powers, and I built his F1 Hydro. It's a build. I have a build log on my site, RC Explorer, and also have a video called Remembering Summer, and also I crashed it pretty hard, and I swam it back to shore using the servos. The
other one. I watched that.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, he uses Depron and like old school
balsa techniques
much more than
a lot of pin and glue.
Yeah, pin and glue, and it was I love the designs, but the building techniques were a bit harder to understand to me as a beginner, but yeah, flies fantastic. They look great
designs, and he's really big into the jets.
He's big into the jets and KF airfoils now. Yeah. And personally, don't like KF airfoils as much as a full airfoil, but yeah, they have their place, definitely. So, yeah, I was hugely inspired by RC Powers, and I wish he didn't go down that route he did. And it just,
wish he was still around.
Yeah, and did what he did. Because those episodes were awesome when he just went out to the field and experimented and, just showed us progress. It was awesome.
I loved he would take gyros and mix.
Yeah, VTEL mixers, like 20 VTEL mixers on one plane.
And duck runs and things like that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He did really great things, and it also demonstrated really cool principles of flights that just weren't being demonstrated at the time. So hats off to you, Dave, right?
Yeah, Dave Powers.
Yeah, I wish maybe he'll get back into it.
Maybe.
I mean, technically he's not out of it. They're just not doing much, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen much videos. I don't see their presence that much. They still have a very active forum, and they still design planes, and they update their planes with version 2s of almost every plane.
Nice.
All right. Robbie has a tricopter question.
Hey, Flight Test. This is Robbie from Lincoln, Nebraska. I have a couple of questions for you guys. Have you seen the Rotorbit series from Hobby King? It seems to be a bit of a knockoff of Chad's Rotorbone series. Just wondering what you guys think about it. Secondly, David, do you use the correct rotation for the props on your tricopter, or do they all rotate in the same direction? And does it make a difference at all? Lastly, how big of an effect does CG have on a multi-rotor? I've been finding some weird tendencies on my tricopter, and it seems that CG might be part of it. Thanks, guys. Really love the show.
Okay, so
Rotorbits,
go.
I think it's a cool concept. It's similar to ours, but hats off to them. They're going to hopefully make the hobby bigger. Maybe we can, I'd like to honestly do a review on it and see.
Yeah, that would be cool. I want to see it.
A totally unbiased review. Totally unbiased. And comparison.
I want to see it in real life. I haven't.
Yeah, I've gotten to touch them before, and I'm pretty impressed with it. The only thing I didn't like is they're using the small, I like the half-inch booms. I really do. And they go down to the 3/8, but the carbon fiber's nice.
Yeah, I like carbon fiber. But the plastic pieces, the motor mounts only have 3 holes in it.
Yeah.
That's kind of strange.
Well, they're trying to limit, like, what kind of motors you could put on?
Probably, because if you go with too large of a motor, it's probably going to start oscillate on you.
That's hard to have an opinion of something that you haven't built, something you haven't flown. Yeah. So, like, it's hard to have an opinion on something you don't really know.
No,
much
it's
about.
Easy to have an opinion.
Oh, well, you're right. Yes, it's hard to have a good opinion valid opinion.
I'd like to get my hands on one and fly it too. And honestly, the whole goal with what we do with the plane line and the rotor bones line is to get people in the hobby. So, if it gets people in the hobby effectively and it's a good quality product, we're going to champion that, whether it's similar to ours or not. We'll check
it looks
that.
Cool. I wish they went
the
with
weird
the little,
colors.
Yeah, so. I went. Yeah, orange, like orange and black. That would be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah. Just like green.
No bias
and, like,
there.
No bias.
Red.
Yeah.
You know what? There's one product we do use of theirs that we just love, and that's those aluminum arms.
Yeah.
We just love their aluminum
Absolutely
arms.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I don't have. If you guys know where to get good quality aluminum arms, please let me know, because I want to. We want to buy like, a container full.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Tricopter question. Take issue with the word correct direction to start with, because there is no right and wrong. It's just difference of what you're going for. So, yes, I do fly with the props spinning in opposite directions on the front. And the reason why I do that is because I chase planes now. Earlier, it was really hard when I started out flying tricopters. It was really hard to find counter-rotating props, and they were expensive and really bad. So that's why I went with the cheaper ones, and it was easy, and it just works very well. The only downside is the tail servo, the tail motor, has to tilt a little bit more, so you get less thrust one way than the other way. And the other issue is when you fly really fast, the props on the front... When they swing, one prop is going to bite the air better on the forward swinging side. The right side is going to swing on its outermost revolution, or how do you say that? The outermost swing. It's outside of the tricopter, and it's generating its most lift at the outside of the tricopter. Whereas the other side, if you have the same rotating prop, it's going to create most of its lift on the inside and almost stall when you go really fast on the outer side.
So there's a leverage issue.
Yes. So it's not going to do the same. You can get into, you can feel it if you fly really fast, but normal flying and just, you won't notice it. So it doesn't really matter that much. Nowadays, I would just go with the counter-rotating props on the front, because it's just easy to get good props today.
Nice.
So, I forgot.
There was one last question.
Yes, about CG.
Oh, yeah, CG. It does matter a lot. Like, everything that flies, CG is king because you load the different motors differently and the board will have to compensate for it. Or you, depending on what board you're running, but you have to compensate for it and you load the different motors different amounts. And when you hit that roof of the maximum RPM and then the motor starts to wig out. And if your CG is incorrect, you're going to experience that at different angles. So if you fly really fast forward and your CG is back, then you're going to end up hitting the back rotor faster than the front motors, and it's going to wig out and flip backwards on you. So it does play in, but
play around with it. I never knew that, brother. That's really a good point.
So, yeah, it's like on planes and on helicopters as well. It's important.
Cool.
Well, we got to wind this down here before too long. We're going to take a couple more questions. We have about 10 left, but we will save them for the next podcast. Real quick, though, we'll do one from Patrick about Flight Fest.
Hey, guys. This is Patrick Murphy from Dallastown, Pennsylvania. I'm looking forward to Flight Fest this summer, and I'm wondering if you are going to require folks to be a member of AMA to fly there. Thanks a lot. Hey, keep up the good work. Love the show. Love everything you guys have done.
Yes, it's going to have to be AMA sanctioned.
Yes, to be safe. They have done a really good job at your field. That story is really good.
Yeah, I'll share it again, too. We do a flying ministry out of our field, and we had a young man, I want to say he was about 12 years old, sadly get hit in the face with a Super Cub that had a really big motor on it, and it cut him really good. It was a really bad injury. By the grace of God, he was not blinded or hurt permanently, but he had the very free membership. Any kids under 18 are free. It used to be $1. Now it's free.
Nice.
And AMA was honorable. They, after the deductibles met, they paid every penny all the way up through the plastic surgery to, you know, make sure the scar, the kid's doing great now. And family still, awesome. still likes flying. But I can't champion that enough. And I thought there was an option where you can just get the insurance for like half the price. That was like $28-$30. Or it's like 60 with a magazine subscription. But after seeing, I used to be frankful with you, I'd be like, you know, they're just a gimmick. They're out there to just to, you know, make you pay and have a bureaucracy. It was a good value, and especially for kids and for what they delivered and the way they treated the whole situation, because I was good friends with these people. I can't say enough good about that. So, yeah, it's going to be AMA sanctioned. It's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, insurance is for protecting yourself against, you know, the unthinkable. Well, and if they're doing that, then they're doing their job.
A lot of the guidelines. And one thing that was unfortunate with AMA, a lot of people, is they'll go out to a flying field club that's not the most friendly. And what they do is they have a lot of rules that are beyond the AMA's rules. And they say, oh, yeah, that's AMA required. When it really isn't. It's their own preference, but they're putting it on AMA. So it got AMA a bad rap. Looking through the different rules and stuff, they give you a lot of opportunity. You know, you can be, you know, at different locations and doing different things, and you're still covered. Because my field that we do the ministry at is not a sanctioned AMA field. We do have some little cones out there, but they honored it. It was at a private location, and they still paid for it. So I think that says a lot.
Okay. Next is Easton, who has submitted a question before, and we love repeats of people who can keep sending in voicemail. So here we go.
Hey, Flight Test. This is Easton Collins from Idaho. I have a challenge for you guys today. I thought it would be cool if you did or designed a vehicle that can go on land, water, and snow, and fly, obviously. I think that would be really cool. You guys talk about it. Thanks. Bye.
Do you want to build a snowball?
Yeah, the snowball films. Yeah. All those.
Yeah, just waterproof it and you'll love it.
It's watch the snowball episode.
It's the best.
That was an easy answer. Okay.
Good singing too.
We'll do two more. Two more.
Three more.
Just two more. Just three more.
Two more.
Right. This is Ryan. Has a question about wind.
Hey, Flight Test. This is Easton Collins from Idaho. I have a challenge for you guys today. I thought it would be cool if you did or designed a vehicle that can go on land, water, and snow.
Sorry about it.
Deja vu. Easton, I'm pretty sure we just answered that.
Stop asking,
stop
okay?
Stop eating that horse, man.
Poor all right. Actually, yeah, this is...
Snowball wasn't good enough for him, I guess.
How did I... I'm not sure how that happened. Oh, well, we'll do it again.
Hey, guys. Here's Philip from Germany, and I just got into DLG flying, and so I've got a question for David. So I've got a 1 meter DLG, and it's very, very light, so only 165 grams. Whenever there are thermals out there, there's lots of winds and the plane gets beaten around. Have you got any tips for getting into thermals with a very, very light DLG, or any tips for making a plane more wind resistant? Thanks for help.
Yes, it's called ballast. Add more weight. If it's getting pushed around, add more weight. Done.
Where do you add weight on a DLG? Because there's not much
at
room.
The CG.
At the CG.
Yeah, usually on a competition's DLG, you take the wing off, and there's a compartment under the wing, and you fill it with lead, and you can almost double the weight of your DLG.
Wow.
It puts stress on the airframe, so it's not recommended to go too crazy, but during the competition, it's always dependent on wind, because it's all dependent on how much penetration you need for what you're doing. And in this case, I would actually, if you need to load it down, don't be afraid of that. The positive of it, the airframe being light, is that you can easily remove the weight when you need to. You can never, if the airframe is already heavy, you can never remove any weight. So light, strong airframe, and then add weight as you need. So as you go, just add more. So on a calm day, remove the ballast. Otherwise, yeah, just throw it in and feel the difference. It's awesome.
And I'm sorry about, actually, Ryan had a really great question about swappables flying in the wind and that sort of thing. I'll try to find that somehow, the other voicemail copied on top of that. So we'll play one last one. This is from Patrick. He has a question about the Kraken.
Greetings, Flight Test. This is Patrick from Amherst, Massachusetts, with a suggestion, an idea, a thought. When you release the Kraken, you mentioned it would be ridiculously expensive to ship 9 sheets of Dollar Tree foam board in a kit format. So I was thinking, what if you just sold laser-cut templates cut from poster board and just ship them out with no whizzlers or anything, just no other components, just that. Seems like it'd be pretty cheap to ship, and then people could build off of righteous templates rather than tiling together plans, because sometimes they come out all wonky, and I would imagine that on something that big, if you're off a little bit on one end, it'll be a crazy mess on the other end. So that might be just me. But yeah, laser cut templates. That's my idea. Go build it. Go do it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We are blessed with an amazing community. That is stinking brilliant. Okay, I'm on it today.
I think print sell full size print plans. Yeah, how about that?
On a decent, decent heavy paper that you can just.
Yeah, so you can cut it out and still trace it very easily. Because if we need to cut it in the laser, it's going to take forever.
The cut, ironically, the weird thing is the cut time is not, it's 18 minutes of cut time, but the problem is you got to change the machine out 4 times.
Yeah, and the changing of the machine is what takes time.
That's it. But one thing I do want to seriously still keep open, I am so close to being able to get the thing into a 30 by 14 by 4 box. So close. But if that's
more
possible, what I'd love to do is, well, it's getting where the seam lines are where it won't be weak.
Okay.
But if that is possible, what I'd love to do is combine small releases of the Kraken as kits.
With charity.
Tied to a charity. You got it.
Yeah.
And that way, yeah, they're going to be a premium, but you're also supporting a charity along with it.
Yeah.
And we can pick different charities throughout the years. And, you know, we'll give that trial balloon. But I love the pattern idea. That's great. And I like the plans. I mean, I think that between those two. And maybe we just do a short kit, you know, where you get the firewalls and the pods and those kind of things. But then the large stuff is,
yeah,
you got to source out yourself. We'll see.
Cool. Great idea.
Hope to shoot that video or have the video up soon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Well, where are we at on time here? Well, we're not at 2 hours yet, so we have a couple more. So
it's like 15 minutes of rambling in the beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, flight test crew. This is Mark from Turkey again. I just saw your Blade 350QX review and wanted to give you my opinion on that. I think it's a good professional step up for your product reviews, although I recommend you don't try to depart too far from your friendly slash buddy RC format, since this is what made FT great and is part of your original FT identity and community. Overall, the length is a bit on the longer side. I think trimming it down to under 10 minutes would be absolutely fine. The product shots are great. The explanations are just maybe a bit too long. Try and put it a little, make it a little shorter overall. David's honest and no-fluff review is absolutely golden. I am hoping you can keep up this kind of a review even when he's gone. There's no need to point out that it's just his opinion. Stand behind your review. You know what you're talking about. And the scorecard system can be a very good idea, but I think you should also somewhere on your website or in the product description below the video go into more detail on how you give those points out if you wish for people to understand this is more than just your opinion. Furthermore, it's a very quickly changing area that we're dealing with, the RC world, and a given score in a review will get outdated quickly and end up being compared to newer review scores. This is an issue that tech blogs such as Engadget and The Verge have been trying to work out, and I feel that the scoring system becomes the focus of a review, which does not always give the full picture of a product. Apart from that, great work and keep it up. Thanks. Bye.
Wow.
Awesome feedback.
Yeah, that was awesome. Some awesome criticism.
So, yeah, I agree with the to start out with, the episode was I did tests to see what I could do back in Sweden on my own, mm-hmm. mostly. So I had the Dave Knopp shoot for 2 hours so I can have a cameraman. But otherwise, it was a trial thing for what I can do when I'm back in Sweden. And it worked out pretty good, I think.
I think so.
Really good criticism.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, guys, and please, don't hold back with feedback like that because it really helps us.
Yeah, we read all the comments on the YouTube and Facebook and mm-hmm. stuff. So we.
That was a great point about the number system.
Yes, yeah, but that's great. That's why I didn't want to spend too much time on the numbering system and have that throughout the video. It's more, it influences how you think about the review and how. You should touch on all those points beforehand, and then you can give a rating at the end. But more, it's more to structure the episode.
More of a visual way to show what you already said.
Yes, more or less, because it's very hard to convey that without numbers, really. How good is it? And the problem is, like you said, it's that rating system is not going to be good forever. But on the other hand, it forces the person that does the review to think about all those points throughout the episode and talk about it.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. even if you cut that part out, you still get all that information, and the rating system is just an add-on bonus.
I never thought I'd say this, but that was a good review of a review.
Yeah. That was awesome. Thank you so much.
All right.
Hi guys, it's Darius from Tecklenburg in Germany, and I'm 15 years old and I want to ask if you can make a built tune fly of the Hobbyking GLG. Love your show, guys, and have a nice day.
Which one? Because there's
came out with a new one.
The 1.2 meter or
it's
one?
Like the elf.
One. Yeah, it's like an elf, and that's not Hobbyking's.
Maybe it was the bird plane.
The bird. Yeah, that was awesome. Because that's that looks to be like a top sky. Same as the Versh.
The bird plane?
No, the Versh. They have a 1.5 meter. Oh, the yeah. Versailles. I can't remember the name of it. So, I don't know, maybe. I think I'll buy one when I get back home and try it.
That would be a good one because you don't want to see me trying to do it.
I do want to see that.
You do?
Yeah, I do want to see
it. Remember what happened with the high protein and the...
Yeah, that's why I want to see it.
You want to hear it, don't
yeah.
you?
We can put mic awkward places.
No, you cannot.
Level your mic.
You remember that, Mr. Scott?
Yeah. Everyone
the wants Alula.
The Alula everyone episode. Josh used his turbo function when he threw it.
It sure didn't help me, that's for sure.
Well, can't accuse him of not trying.
Yeah.
I let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
Hey, guys. It's Mikey McCarthy from New York. First, I just want to say I love the podcast, and it makes trips to school and errands around the house bearable. My question is if you guys are going to do anything in terms of advanced radio programming. For example, differential, P mixing, knife edge mix, etc. Also, if you guys could do a quick tip episode on field etiquette, it'd be great. It's a big part of flying and would definitely save newbies some embarrassing moments. Also, if there's anyone on the internet able to teach courtesy, it'd be Flight Test. Other than that, thank you so much for your podcast. I hope you see you in all this year. God bless and fly low.
Man, I like that guy's ending.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Are we really the best people to give field etiquette? Oh, I don't know.
Here's my opinion. I don't think we're the best people to give, like, the, I don't know, like, the ultimate guide. But we can talk about it.
Yeah.
And we can talk about different theories of field etiquette. So actually, I want to point this out. We're going to talk about that at the top of the next podcast. Not the FT After Hours, but of the next podcast, we're going to talk about field etiquette.
Oh, okay.
And some different things you can do, some things to keep in mind. But I also want to point out, that's how easy it is to give us a suggestion for the show.
Yeah.
So if you want to give a suggestion for the show, just go to speakpipe.com/flighttest. And you don't have to ask a question. You can give a discussion topic as well.
So we're going to end on a cliffhanger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Sometimes I wonder when they talk about field etiquette, though, if it should be that the people that run the clubs should be the ones talking about field etiquette and how to engage people, because everyone makes mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
It's how do you engage them?
And I don't think it's about being perfect. I think it's about newbies knowing what to expect when they go to a field and not, you know, doing what they don't know is a major faux pas or something like that.
Going to NEF. Seth, no.
Neat,
yes. Yeah. Sorry, yeah, neat was one of those experiences. If you weren't spot on with your etiquette, you were yelled at horribly.
And not the way to do it.
And we'll never be able to solve for that, but I do think we can educate a little bit and just let people know what we're familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So look forward to that.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's going to be a very divisive comment or commentary.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it should be.
Leave a comment. What do you think is proper field etiquette?
And we'll include it in discussion.
Cool.
We have one last question about foam board.
Apparently hey there, Flight Test. This is MB Esteves from Long Island, New York. And I first want to thank you for all the hard work you've put into your YouTube shows, your both podcasts. And my question is the following. Have you guys at Flight Test found a way of making the foam board from Dollar Tree perfectly flat? About a month ago, I took 3 sheets of Dollar Tree foam, stacked it on top of each other. I put some heavy textbooks and some circular flat weight on top of it, about 20 pounds, and left it there for a week. A week later came by, and, you know, I took the weights off thinking the board would be flat, and to my surprise, they were not flat. They were all warped and bent, and, you know, if you guys find a way to make this flat, please share it with the community. I'm sure everybody that uses foam board would love to find a way to make them flat. Thank you.
I'm trying to think of which, there's a reason why we pretty quickly went to airfoiled air designs and fuselages that fold together, and the FT Flyer, like the wings, they kind of curl on the
on that one. It doesn't really care.
Doesn't care. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the designs don't care, except a few.
Yeah, like the Fogey. Fogey and the old Speedster. You really got to keep it from warping, but as long as you build it straight and you don't tilt it in your car, you know, you're okay.
Yeah, that's the main thing. If you go to the store, the Dollar Tree store, they usually end up having the foams stand at an angle inside of the box, and they
slowly sag.
Yeah, they slowly sag. And the thing that I can recommend is if you have a humidifier, mm-hmm. place it next to the thing and then squish it with books and that, because the humidity is really what shapes the fibers in the paper, and that's what gives it shape.
Give them a little bit moment to relax. Also, we have a weird side benefit. When we put it down on the laser unit and we cut it out with the laser, it actually
sucks it down.
It sucks it down flat, and then it cuts it, and you can have a piece of foam board that's curved. You put it down the laser, and after it cuts, you pop it out, and it's perfectly straight. I got to imagine it's something with the laser going through the foam and the way it sears and it relaxes everything.
Yeah, and it heats it, and it pulls it downwards, and you have – yeah, it just works really good.
Because we were nervous as all get out when we started doing spit cuts. It's like, how in the world do we make sure this is flat? Are we going to throw away? And we put down a curved piece, and it came out straight. I'm like, well, there we go.
Problem solved.
Yeah, I don't know.
And also, when we package them, we vacuum them.
Yep, we vacuum seal them, and that works really, really well too.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Well, we want to thank everyone for listening. I think that's a nice conclusion to our discussions today. One thing I have to say about Neff, one thing that really, really impressed me, it kind of blew my mind how many people I talked to that listened to the podcast. We're excited about it, and we're excited for the next one. So just want to thank everyone out there for listening. You see the numbers in the analytics, and you forget that that's actual people that are listening to it and enjoying it. So it's kind of a cool thing to be reminded of.
And Josh, I know you're busy, brother. Thank you for coming out.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No problem.
So please subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already.
Rate it.
Review it, honestly. Facebook, Google+, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. Go find us.
I know what Instagram is, by the way, now.
Hashtag flight test.
At. At the person.
At
people.
At people. Okay. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
See ya.
Is that Wayne's World?
Yeah.
Wayne's World. I like that. God bless Vladu.